Okay, we're here with George Hardy, star of Troll 2. How's it going, George?
Hey, fine. Hey, Ash, how you doing?
Not too bad. How about you?
Doing great. Yeah, appreciate you calling all the way from Iowa down to Alabama and getting this conversation together with us on bad movies. It's going to be fun.
Definitely.
Looking forward to talking to you today.
Definitely. We've here at badmovies.org, we've been anticipating this interview, so unfortunately Michael wasn't able to be here with us today, but we'll try to get him on a separate interview later down the road.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll happen. Yeah, it'll be great if it does. Yeah.
So have you been doing many interviews for Troll 2 and for the documentary lately?
We had an interview with another website as well. It went really well, and just different people. I've had radio talk shows call in contact with me. There's a fellow named Gregory Mantell who has his own television show that Michael and I are going to be on, I think around April 28th in Los Angeles, and that's been arranged. Gregory's show is shown all over YouTube, and he has shows in Los Angeles, San Diego, and in New York, and he does a lot of different interviews, and so we've been invited to be on his show as well. There are some talks of other, actually larger talk shows that want to get in touch with us, Michael's been informing me with.
Sounds cool. So then, and this TV interview, then, would that be on YouTube?
Oh, yeah. Hey, that'd be great. It's Gregory, and then it's Mantell. He has his own. If you YouTube Gregory Mantell, you'll be able to hear us live with him.
So what kind of a TV show is that?
Oh, God, I think he's one of the U.S. Best interviewers out there today. He interviews a lot of really interesting people, like ultramarathoners, fitness experts, people that have written books in his area where he lives about, for example, how to get a job in acting while you're in Los Angeles, or just very interesting people. That I just do remember that. If you go to the site, you'll see all the type of people he's interviewing these days.
Cool. Sounds cool. Definitely have to check it out.
He had some great questions. I liked him. And actually, I was actually looking at the YouTube one night and just somehow stumbled across some of his interviews, and I thought, God, he really asked some great questions. And I thought, it might be kind of fun for us to see if he might want to interview us. And so I emailed him, and sure enough, he got back in touch with us, and then Michael and I met with Gregory already, and he's setting up a program for us to get in touch. Actually, the producer of Ellen DeGeneres' show has been emailing us on MySpace, and we just kind of threw it out to them, hey, we'd love to be on Ellen's show. If I got it out, that might maybe one day happen, who knows, after the documentary or Troll 3 or after all these screenings that we're booked up to have in the future. I mean, it's just amazing what's happened. And then, of course, a lot of newspapers. We've been just last weekend, Salt Lake did two full pages just about it.
I saw the
Tribune. Yeah.
I read that online. Mike
did my hometown paper.
Oh, go ahead.
My hometown paper just did a big article, too, on the whole sensational
story. Yeah, it is quite a big sensation. It's this cult phenomenon that surrounded the movie is just unbelievable. I never really realized that there were that many people that totally either love or hate this movie, or love to hate it, or just,
I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really interesting, but, I'm a dentist in Alabama. One of my patients, back in the early 90s, came to me and he said, George, this is going to be a cult. I guarantee it's going to be a cult hit. And I just kind of looked at him back in 94-3 when it first came out on HBO, and I thought, I don't know about that. Maybe, but I couldn't even watch it, Ash. I couldn't watch the thing all the way through. And
did you think it was terrible, or what?
Well, yeah, I can just remember when my sister called me for the first time back in 91 or whatever. She goes, George, your movie's out. And I go, what? She goes, well, my ex-wife at the time, Mary, called. She says, your movie's out. And I go, you got to be kidding me. And actually, I was married at the time, and my wife told me, she says, yeah, and my daughters were going, Dad, your movie's out. And I'm just going, oh, what? And then all of a sudden, patients were coming in from all over, you know, Alabama, that are patients of mine. They're going, Dr. Hardy, your movie's out. And that feel was kind of like, and then my sister goes, George, it's bad. And I go, well, how bad is it? She goes, it's really bad. I said, well, how bad is really bad? She goes, it's really, really bad. I thought, oh, God. So I remember plugging the VCR in, and I would let my patients watch it through these movie viewing glasses. In fact, Entertainment Weekly interviewed me about my movie viewing glasses because I was one of the first dentists in the United States to have these eyeglasses where people could watch a movie while they're having dentistry done.
Oh, really?
But anyway, I would put the movie in, the VHS in, and play Troll 2, and they would watch me on film while I was here drilling other teeth. But I remember taking the glasses myself and putting them on and trying to watch it, and I just thought, I cannot watch this thing at all. There's just no way. And then when I'm doing the dorky scene at the very first with my maybe wife, Margot Frey, and we're doing the things about, the goblins. I'm going, the goblins? And we're having this scene in there, and I'm just going, oh, God, I just hated seeing myself on TV, you know. Total embarrassment, which I've heard most actors, you know, have that feeling, but... So anyway, I never watched the whole thing, and then little did I know what it would become today, you know, in 89. Now, finally, I have watched it, just to find out why everybody's so intrigued with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it's so great? Why do you think it's become a cult? What do you think?
Oh, it's just because the level of badness is just so up there. Because most movies are bad for, several different reasons, but then there's movies that just transcend... they go above and beyond, and they're just absolutely horrible. You've got to wonder what the filmmakers were thinking, and that's why I like the movie so much. I mean, I remember seeing it when I was, I think I first saw it, like, HBO. That's where most first engaged into Troll 2 was on HBO, and that's where I first saw it. And I remember thinking how much, another reason I like it is because of how Michael looked when he was that age.
Yeah.
I looked almost exactly the same as Michael did. If I dig up old pictures of me when I was that age, I look almost exactly like Michael. But not
that's
now.
Bizarre.
Like, if you look at him now and you look at me now, we don't look anything alike. But back then, we looked very similar. So I was just kind of remember that about Troll 2. But, it's just, it's amazing in its awfulness. It's
it is. Oh, that's just great.
So
that
was your only role, right?
Well, it's interesting. I've always enjoyed being in front of people. I mean, I was a college cheerleader, we did skits, and I was on television. We were on the Jerry Lewis Telethon back in 1975, and, I mean, you go way back, and I did some plays in high school, and I guess what you might, a lot of people ask me this question, how did you get in this movie, or what happened, but
that's what I was
at the time, feel free to ask any questions, but I just thought I'd go on into it, but because I had the background, especially being a college cheerleader, it pretty much pushed you out there in front of a lot of people, and we had to do a lot of things on TV at the time, and I remember when I was in Los Angeles, back in 75, a fellow named Rick Rosner came up to me, and he was the executive producer of Chips at the time. And he said to me, "Have you ever done any acting?" And I said, "No." He says, "Well, I really would like for you to audition for this part pilot. I think they were getting together for a pilot, and it was for Chips." He told me this was going to be for Chips. He said, "I really would like for you to audition for one of those parts." And little did I know, I just kind of blew it off at the time. I was about 23, 24 years old. And before I was about to get into, dental school and all, there's no way I could go that direction. I felt that. But anyway, bottom line is I get out to Salt Lake, I was 32 at the time. And I had done some study with a lady named Lillian Chauvin. She was an acting coach from LA that would come up and took some classes because a friend of mine who was a child actress and worked with Ron Howard. Her name is Michelle Turner Wilson. She ended up enticing me to go to these classes, and then she said, why don't you audition? And then another buddy of mine said, come on, you know, you need to get you an agent. I went, oh, no, there's no way I'm going to be a dentist, you know. But the bottom line is I got an agent, and Irene Sexton got me this interview, of which I went up to Park City, and there were a few guys out there waiting in line to get into read for this part. And I didn't realize it, but it was for my part, for the dad. I had heard a lot of people were auditioning for the part that I got. And so I walk in this smoke-filled room, and no one spoke English. I mean, there were probably 11 Italians. You could barely see them because they were in this hotel room, and there was so much smoke in there. And they had me read the Can't Piss Off Hospitality scene with Michael, pretending that he wasn't there.
So that was the audition scene.
That was my audition scene, and I remember, I didn't know what the hell I was reading, and I hadn't, you know, and then I was trying to read through this script, and it was so discombobulated, which went on to be even more of a catastrophe for us to try to decipher when we were actually doing the film, that I don't know how I got the part, but I did, and Irene called me back a couple of days later, and I'll never forget, she goes, George, you got the part. I go, why? She says, you got the second to the lead in Troll 2. I go, oh, no, it wasn't called Troll 2 at the time. And this Italian horror film. And I go, what? And she goes, you really got it. I went, oh, man. And then I thought, what have I done? What in the world have I done, you know? And I thought, I can't leave my dental practice, of which it's kind of a fun, you know, kind of a hobby out there in Salt Lake, because I was having a ball of water, you know, playing in the sun and mountain hiking and skiing and, you know, mountain biking and teaching aerobics and doing all kind of fun stuff. I was just playing in the mountains during the 80s, and so I thought, oh, what the heck, should I do it or not? And so I just thought, you know what, you're a fool if you don't try this thing. And so I did, and, you know, now look what's happening. Look back on it almost 18 years ago, a couple of decades ago, and, amazing.
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Well, it's just amazing, you know, it's freaking just awesome that, you know, this thing has just become what it's become.
I bet back then you would have never imagined the popularity that it has now.
Well, yeah, going back to that one patient to tell me it would become a cult hit, I kind of thought about what he said back in 93, 94, and thought, you know what, you know, under underlying level, I thought, there has got to be something that's really weird avant-garde, you know, adult fantasy with this Italian fling to it. I thought, whoa, this is just too bizarre. This is going to, you know, be something maybe one day. In the back of my mind, I thought that. But honestly, though, Ash, when I walked off the set back in 1989, you know, the last scene that we shot, I think, was at the church there where we're doing the Holy Grail, where Michael throws a double-decker bologna sandwich.
Yeah.
I love that scene. That was one of the last scenes, you know, where everything gets eaten up. The goblins. But I thought, you know, that's it. It's, you know, I'll never see these people again, but it was a fun experience, you know. Little did I know that we'd meet most of the cast again, and now Michael and I are best of buds. Absolutely. That's just an unbelievable experience, really, to meet with Michael.
So this documentary that they're making about Troll 2, can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, to preheat all this, kind of the way to lead into that, I don't want to go too long-winded on things and jump in there if I do, but what happened was about a year ago, I'm waking up in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, I turn TV on out of the 500 channels you get these days. There's Troll 2 on TV, and I haven't seen it in a while. But God, there is Troll 2 again, just popping up. I thought, I had this premonition that someone, Ash, out of the blue, would call me. I thought, you know, it's not going to be a patient this time. It's not going to be a friend of mine that calls me from Washington State or whatever. That would tell me that it's seen Troll 2. This time, this interviewer calls me from South Carolina, and he said, my name is Joe Scott, and he says, I'm doing an interview, a radio documentary on Troll 2. I said, what? And he goes, why are you doing it on Troll 2? And he goes, well, on the phenomenon of Troll 2. I said, phenomenon, what do you mean? And So then he went on and told me all what was happening with IMDb, and this is way before our website, and so he says, why don't you check things out? And he says, by the way, here are a few addresses of some of your cast members. I go, what? And I said, yeah, they're phones. And so I just immediately went to IMDb, and at that time, Troll 2 was at the bottom 100. We were number one.
I remember that.
For I don't know how many weeks, plus it was showing on Showtime like crazy.
I remember that.
Times a month.
When it was,
number one. So anyway, long story short, we, 2 days later, after I hit the IMDb website and Googled it, I am in the middle of a cast reunion and screening in Provo, Utah. In other words, I go to IMDb and it says, you know, cast, we're looking for the cast. We would love to have a Troll 2 screening in Provo, April 13th. I got on the website April 11th. The 12th, I booked my flight and I was out and re-met Grandpa Seth and the drugstore owner and Jason Stem, and of course, Credence was there. But Michael, unfortunately, wasn't, and neither has I have not yet met Connie. Michael has recently cut off with his sister Connie, but I'll explain that a little bit. But anyway, I didn't get a chance to meet Michael, but his parents were there, and we had a packed crowd that night. And people, I walked in the place, I got there late, and people turned around at me, and they were going, "You're my hero, man! You rock, man! You rock! You're our hero!" I was just going, "What are you talking about?" I don't think I'd even watched Troll 2 in its entirety, even that night. And I thought, "What is going on? This is crazy." So anyway, that was just the gem of a night, and a few of the other cast members, especially the older guy, said, "You know, this is bigger than life," which he's really right. It has approached that level for many of us. So anyway, I ended up calling Michael because he was the one that I really wanted to connect with, because I had developed, it was almost like a father-son relationship while we were filming. And I was like, oh man, I have got to meet my son. Of course, it was over the top to meet everybody else. The Prentice family was there, and we didn't have any of the goblins there, but a few key members were there. So anyway, I get on the phone with Michael, and he says, "George, I cannot believe this." And I said, "Michael, how much you weigh? How tall are you? What do you look like?" You know, he did the same with me, and he had already seen the things that had already been posted on the internet and kind of got a feel of me. But of course, he had changed so much, because the last time I saw Michael was 10, and now he was 28. So, you know, I got to meet his wife and his dog, and he, I was just being fantastic. I'm close friends with both of them now. And so Michael says, "George, you know, I've run from this thing for so long." I said, "I have too. I can't believe what's going on. You're going to attack the pro." He says, "I think we should really embrace this thing. Let's go for it." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, you want to jump in with me on this? Let's do a documentary and let's create a website. And you know, these people are hungry for it." I said, "They certainly are. Let's go for the ride. And, you know, let's don't have any expectations around it and just put the... just put this as a real fun trip for us, and you know, not worry about the material things that might follow from it, and so just go for the process, which we've done." So the bottom line is, to bring you up to date, we've developed a website called www.bestworstmovie.com, and that's where you can go with the official Troll 2 website, which we've had over between 500 to 750,000 hits, and over, we're getting close to 30,000 people that have joined. And people have joined and put all kind of Neil blogs, which was Michael's genius. And
Neil blog.
From Neil blog to Neil blog, B-L-O-G. Yeah, so you can go into the Neil blogs on www.bestworstmovie, and you can read people's comments. In fact, just yesterday, we just found out they're showing Troll 2 in Iraq, you know. Yeah, and I just found out, Michael just informed me too, that Sunday is going to be a Troll 2 wedding. This couple that is getting married and having everything centered around Troll 2, that's how they met.
Isn't that amazing? We actually
had these people, we introduced these people to each other kind of through MySpace and all, but they're actually getting married now. But, yeah, oh my gosh, I can go on and on about this, and love for you to ask more questions, because there's so many to answer.
Sure. Now this documentary, who's writing, directing, and producing it? Is it Michael doing all that, or is it
We're both kind of doing it, but Michael, George, we've got to have a story about around this thing. And I go, well, what do you want to do? You know, he is right. You know, I mean, how are you going to make a documentary over a phenomenon about a movie that was made in 1989. He says, well, bottom line is, let's just have some fun with it, and the intent is to show that, you know, that you're this cult icon from this movie. He's talking about me, and he said, we're going to just have it centered around you, and the intent is to get you back into a major motion picture. I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. And, so Michael and I have gone around all these screenings, and it's been fun. We've got to have some kind of plot with it. So Michael, you know, you're the star of the thing. So George, you're the one that hasn't changed the least of all. You look very much the same as you did in the film.
You do look very much the same.
I've always tried to take good care of myself, I guess, but from 34 to 52, tried to stay in pretty good shape, so we had something that people identify with, and I guess what really was the clincher to how we wanted to put the documentary together was when we went to New York at the F.I. Citizens Brigade Theater, and we had a screening there on September the 14th of last year.
I saw that on YouTube.
Yeah, and in fact, on the same day we launched the website, and that was great. That was, as you can see, the response when I redid the line. You can't hit the hospitality. I don't allow it. You know, I did that line.
that's
a classic. You know, I look back on that line. It's just like, where did that come from? Oh my God!
There's even a T-shirt that says that.
Does
it has a picture of you that says
yeah. Can't pass the hospitality? Yeah, Michael, that's the one that sold out. So it's been fun to kind of see. Watch my ego, throughout this whole thing, because for me, I just have some fun with it and just loving the fans and just generating a lot of love around it. Because even this brings a lot of joy to me to talk to you today about it. Because it's awesome, and just the fact that it's a gift, really, from the universe that this has happened. But the documentary, though, is Michael has brought in, and we had another fellow, Scott Perlman, has helped us a little bit, been a good support of ours. And Michael Scott flew here from LA to my hometown, and they filmed me with my patients, and my patients talking about me doing talking about me being in the movie and me being a movie star. People call me a movie star in my hometown. I go to my gym and people joke with me about Trail 2. And we've been on some talk shows around here in Alabama. Michael and I appeared on one, and we go to the screenings, and which now we've got this tour booked up, and I'll share that with you in a little bit. But the screening is just awesome because they're all sellouts, and just unbelievable. And people are coming 200 or 300 miles away, and unfortunately had to turn away a few people that came to Austin. But they've got me talking to the fans, and they just they just love it. They I don't know why, but they just identify with Michael Waite. Father Waite.
So then Michael's already started shooting the documentary.
Oh, we already have close to about 30 hours of footage right now.
Oh, really?
We're looking about 300 hours of footage. Like I said, we've got lined up now. May 25th is going to be at the Castro Theater. We're going to show a Troll 2 screening. We'd love for you to come out to that if you can.
Where's that at?
In San Francisco, May 25th. And this is so cool, Ash, but for the first time in the history of Troll 2 showing on the continental United States, Troll 2 will be shown on the big screen in print, which means they actually found the film, which was in an archive. So the bottom line is, when we've gone to these screenings in the past, or whenever it's been shown, it's been through a DVD projector on a big screen.
Uh-huh.
But now they're actually going to show it as you would if you were really going to view it in the movie theater. So, isn't that awesome? It's going to be shown at the Castro, which seats about 1,200, which who knows? We know what will happen that night, and that's going to be a pretty fun place in San Francisco. Have you ever heard of the Castro? It's supposed to be just
an icon. Sounds like it's going to be a blast.
It's beautiful. Go on the internet and check out the Castro Theater. It's absolutely a beautiful piece of architecture.
Oh, I'll have to do that.
It really is. The interior is just awesome. Check it out. That's where it's going to be. I think. And then we've got, and so well, the bottom line of what I was going to tell you is we'll be filming there. We have to get, you know, a couple hundred more hours of film footage in. And then we'll be going to Houston and working with the Landmark Theater. There's interest there that there's 56 Landmark Theaters, and they're talking about taking Troll 2 around like the Rocky Horror, which they're comparing it to now. Which, you know, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. I was just laughing.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, the reason I bring up Rocky Horror, of course, if you're a fan, you know, there's audience participation.
Oh, yeah.
At each of these screenings, you know, there's popcorn throwing at the popcorn scene with the Winnebago, and then during the Frozen scene, there's, you know, a scene where we all, it's a seance or something, I think, not the seance scene, but where right before I pissed on the son's table, on the food's table. I just had an interruption in the back. I'm sorry. One of my assistants came in. But right as we're, yeah, just think. Okay. All right. By the way, so the bottom line is that scene where I go in and do the, where we walk in and we're all frozen there.
Mm-hmm.
The audience will count, so that's audience participation as well. So I guess what I want to tell you is it's getting to be like that with, you know, Rocky Horror Experience.
That's one of the best things about B-movies in general. Most B-movie fans love to participate when the movie's
going. Isn't it though?
It just makes it so much better.
Right, right. Next thing is we're going to go to, you know, like I said, Houston and then Atlanta. And Boston, oh, that's been great, because to fill you in a little bit more on that, I don't know if you've ever heard of Guitar Hero. Have you heard about Guitar Hero?
The video game?
Yeah.
Yep, I've heard of it.
Well, now there's Guitar Hero 2. I don't know if you know this or not, but I was told or read in Wired magazine someplace. By the way, they want to do an interview with us, too. But the Wired magazine said that I think Guitar Hero sold 900 million copies last year. That's it. But now there's Guitar Hero 2, which is the largest. What is it, a PlayStation game, I think? I can't remember.
I think so, yeah.
But the bottom line is the developers of Guitar Hero 2 are huge Troll 2 fans. And two of them wanted to have something there. So the high school is named Neil Bogg High School in Guitar Hero 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they're going to be at the Boston screening, and we're going to do a little tie-in with Guitar Hero and Troll 2 at the Boston screening.
So it looks like
Montreal wants to have us in Halloween at their festival up there. Toronto wants to have us. Chicago wants to have us. It's pretty cool what's happening everywhere, and New York definitely wants to have us back again. So we're having a lot of fun with this whole thing, and then of course. This is all part of the documentary that we'll be shooting, and then we might even try to get somebody to film over in Iraq.
So the troops are watching it over there, right?
Yeah, we just got used to that.
That would be great. Maybe get them to shoot some footage and send it to you and add that
to the documentary. And Michael and I want to do about 3 or 4 trips. Our budget's around $200,000 that, you know, we'll be raising for this, and I've probably put quite a bit into this already, but, you know, we'll put some more into it and have some fun going around the world, and we're going to go back and meet Claudio. And we've been on the phone with Claudio, who's the director. Claudio Fragasso directed and wrote. I think his wife had something to do with writing the film, too. But Michael's talked to Claudio, who understands just a little bit of English, just enough to get by, but he doesn't really understand, you know, what's going on with this thing yet. Michael tried to tell him, Claudio, you don't understand. This is a, you know, world cult thing, you know. And I think he's getting it now. I think he wants to do a Troll 3 with all of us. And so.
I had heard that there was a Troll 3, but it had nothing to do with either the first.
Right.
Did you hear about that too?
Yeah, I think, you know, we might call it Return of Neil Bogg or, you know, Troll 2.5 or something like that.
Yeah.
Troll 2 Part 2.
Well, now they're packaging in the DVD, they're packaging, you get the one DVD and it has Troll and Troll 2 on one disc.
Right. That came out about 2003 or 2004, of course. A lot of people ask us about Troll, and of course it had Sonny Bono and Angela Lockhart and Dreyfus, Lou Dreyfus, and Shelley Hack was in
Michael
it.
Moriarty.
Yeah, Michael Moriarty, great big names, but, you know, it's really funny. We've actually got some great footage of us going into a video store in Santa Monica. By the way, not only have we filmed part of the documentary here in my hometown, but I've been out to L.A. too, and we've had a bunch of fun out there. But we go into a video store, and we find out that Troll 2 is the worst section there is in the... the whole place is pretty great. In other words, the section uses some pretty bad explicitives to describe what section it's in.
So then, in this documentary, is it going to be available to purchase on DVD?
Well, yeah, that's the intent. You know, I mean, right now we're about to come out with a teaser, and it'll be about 3 or 4 minutes long, and I've seen parts of it. It's just rough drafts now, but once the teaser's out, then we'll present it to people that are interested in supporting the Troll 2 documentary, and then the documentary we hope to have out by 2008 of April of next year, and, you know, it might be, you know, our intent would be great to have it picked up at the film festivals. Sundance and some of the others, Tribeca might latch onto it. It'd be great to see it released in larger theaters one day if that could happen. And again, we have no hopes or expectations. We have some wants, but who knows what could happen with it? You know, it might be picked up where Troll 2 would be on one side and our documentary on the other.
That would be great.
It would be great. You know, it's amazing what we got people from all, and Michael will tell you this in the interview, you know, people that have got Troll 2 tattoos and people that do dances, the Holly dance in England, and Troll 2 parties all over the world. There was a huge party this past weekend in Los Angeles, I found out. They actually have people, they were video taping and had hidden cameras of people walking in with Troll 2 costumes on and all.
So do you have a Troll 2 t-shirt that you wear every now and then?
I think it would just be cool to wear a t-shirt that says Troll 2, you know, on it. But, you know, who knows, you know, for me, the t-shirt and the stickers and all that, you know, we've got plans for more of that. I don't know, you have to check out the legals on that, it's become almost like another Napoleon Dynamite thing. People are just having so much fun wearing the t-shirts, you know. I've worn Neil Boggins. You know, I actually, to be honest with you, the back of my car tag in Alabama is the back of my car tag, and you can get your own personal car tag if you want. It says Troll 2 on it.
Your license plate on your car?
Yeah. I have an Acura RDX, and it's a cool-looking car. In the back of it says Troll 2, and then I have a yellow Jeep, and I'm going to change it to Neil Bogg.
That's great.
Yeah, it is. It's great fun, you know. We had a ball with it.
So then, you've been doing the dentist thing for quite a while now. Do you have posters of Troll 2 up in your dentist office?
Well, I have the DVD for sale, and then I've got it out front with it. Yeah, they can buy the DVD here at the office, and then I've got it at home now, but I'm going to bring it in. Jason Wright, I don't know, he's the Playboy son of the Coopers. He's a brilliant guy. I mean, and by the way, I can go a little bit into the cast sometime, either in another interview or whatever, but Jason's just brilliant. But he got one of the actual... the actual posters of Troll 2, and he ended up getting a lot of us to sign, you know, all the cast members to sign it. So I've got that claim, and we're going to bring that to the office.
So then do you give autographs to your patients, to autograph a DVD?
Yeah, I've had a few come in and ask me for my autograph.
they don't want dental services, they just want a DVD and your autograph.
Oh, it's funny, you know. I'm just going to go to George, you know. It's so funny for me, Ash, because, well, let's see. Yeah, let's see. It's March right now. A year ago, that for me to be having this conversation would just floor me, you know. And I guess it's just, you know, you just realize you never know what's going to happen in your life from year to year. You know, you look back a year ago, and I was not even talked about Troll 2. It's still, you know, a dirty shelf in the closet for me. I don't even know where the VHS of the Troll 2 DVD was. happened, really, started April the 13th last year in Provo, Utah. It was kind of the initiation of this whole kickback up again.
It seems like it's just exploded.
It has, you know, and we didn't know that, especially with, we went to the deadpit.com interview. That's what I was trying to thoughts for words about that. When we did that, you know, those guys filled us in. You know, these guys have been doing around. The guys that did Mystery Science Theater 2-3000, they've got one now. They've done, they're not showing anymore on TV, but they've done a Troll 2 thing on their site.
Actually, it's called, I believe it's called Riff Tracks, where you...
Riff Tracks, yeah.
They record the audio, humorous audio, yeah, about them commenting on the movie, and then you sync it up with your DVD player.
Right.
And you play that while watching the movie, and it's supposed to be hilarious.
It is. That's right. It's good.
That's one thing I was going to ask you. I think, I don't know if I asked you this before, but have you guys, you and Michael, have ever considered doing maybe a commentary track, like something similar to Riff Tracks,
Well, you know, I think it'd be great. I'd love to do that with Michael and some of the other cast members. It's got to be great for Creedence to, you know, Deborah Reed to talk about her role and what was she actually thinking when she was doing that, you know.
Yeah.
And did she get any makeup in her eye or anything like that, you know? And what was Connie doing? Where'd she get that dance from, you know? Where in the hell did Row, Row, Row Your Boat come from? But do you know, I started that song. I think I just started it out of the blue. I'm not kidding. We said, singing Michael saying, that was not scripted. I just sang Row, Row, Row Your Boat. I couldn't believe it. I don't think that was in the script.
And I think people during the screenings probably sing that with it, don't they?
Oh, they love it. They just think the rubber on your boat's so awesome. That's great, you know. Oh, gosh. There's just so many people. People come up to me, you know, I'm working out the gym, and I go, you know, you do know that in one scene it's daylight, the next scene it's dark, and then the next scene after that it's daylight again. It goes from day to night to day all in the same 5 seconds, and you go back to the same, you know, you're back in the same place you were 5 seconds ago, but it's just daylight now. Or then there's a scene where my pajamas are unbuttoned way down like Elvis, and then they go way down, they go way back up. As I'm walking down the hall, they're, you know, way down, and then I can't remember it. You know,
I forgot to check for continuity in their editing.
I know. You really wonder what were they all thinking at the time, but everybody, there's so much cigarette smoke and people eating stale pizza that, you know, we didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah, so how long did the shoot take, if you don't mind me asking?
So about 3 or 4 weeks. I got paid $1,500 for this thing. It was, of course, a non-SAG film. I didn't know what the world was doing. I think, oh my gosh, I didn't even, I mean, I remember, you know, at that time when I was playing around so much in the mountains, I mean, every penny counted so much for me, you know, doing what I was doing as far as dentistry goes to pay my bills, and I thought, oh man, you're crazy to take this time off, and they didn't pay us anything for it all, you know.
Then I guess the crew were mostly Italians then, right?
Oh yeah, everybody.
That has to make you wonder if that's one of the reasons why the movie turned out as bad as it did, is because there was a language barrier there.
Well, I tell you, it's kind of like contrast is essence of vision, maybe. Like, I mean by that is, it was, if I can take it and give you this feel of all these Italians, they're wild, they're boisterous, they're smoking cigarettes, and at night they're having the beer or whatever, you know, and just, you know, just having a blast. Everything, the hands are going around, and there's just talk, and, you know, it's just wild stuff. Yelling and screaming at each other and stuff, and then and this beautiful, very pristine, just imagine, Mormon, you know, everybody, I was only probably non-LDS, you know, I don't know, you know, I guess what I wanted to say, it was just, you know, European culture and a whole different culture in the Salt Lake, because living in Salt Lake is a little bit different than living in a lot of parts of the United States, you know. Mm. I don't want to get myself in trouble by saying that, but it's almost different, you know, because of the Mormon influence. But, you know, there's no smoking and no coffee drinking, and, you know, everybody's, I just love a lot of the people there that, you know, they're very healthy, you know, it's a great healthy place to live. but it was just kind of this wild with
culture clash between
the, yeah, culture clash is what I want to say.
And the actor. Definitely great. Sounds like it was a lot of fun. And you shot that in 1989, and it, when you came out in, was it ever released in theaters?
Yeah, it was, and that's, yeah, I meant to tell you that, you know, when I said it's first ever in the United States, but it, I heard that it was on the big screen in Europe and played at, like, Piccadilly Circus or something like that, right, right around in England, and then showed in, I think it showed in Germany, but in Italy, but, you know, if you go in on our Neil Block site on Best Worst Movies, you'll find the video covers of Troll 2 from all over the world. Like Japan has one, and Germany has one, I think. It was amazing to see how many different countries it was released in.
Huh.
Yeah. So that thing has circulated around. I know it's hard to find it now. You can get it on Amazon.com, or you can get it on, you can find it on the internet. And, of course, you can get it on Netflix and watch it. But it's hard to find now. It's one of those things that I think if MGM only knew what it was doing, they'd probably re-release it again. And I think if they do, they might re-release Troll 2 on the big screen when they do. It might be the first in the history of this ever happened.
A re-release would also enable you guys to put the documentary on it, added extras and bonus features.
Exactly. Sure.
But right now, I'm pretty sure it's just a bare bones edition. Right? There's no special features.
Not of that at all, but excuse me, yeah, but we've just had a great time around, great energy around the whole thing, and I really feel like that, we're just at the tip of the iceberg with this whole thing, and Michael does too. We both get phone calls, Daddy, MySpace, boy, I get, be my friend, the My Friend deal on MySpace. I mean, my daughter gets jealous because she's, I've got well over 1,000 now, and, she's been on longer than I have, daily I get letters. I've gotten letters as far away as Zimbabwe, Iceland, film students, directors that want me to do a little, shoot. In fact, I just recently did a little movie shoot out in Los Angeles, and they threw it up on Best Worst Movie site.
I'll have to go check that out.
Yeah, it shows me. I was reading a script. I mean, hell, I didn't know what I was doing, but I was reading the script, so it's kind of funny.
Wow, this definitely sounds like a wild roller coaster ride you've been on for the past year.
Oh, yeah.
So then, real quick, do you have any plans to do any more acting? If another role came up for you, would you take it?
Oh, yeah, I think it'd be a choice. I mean, my gosh, you only live once, and life is so beautiful. I mean, why not take the opportunity? Because, I'd have to watch out. I've got a lot of patients here that, I have to take care of. But if the right offer came, oh, yeah, man, that'd be great. I mean, I don't know how I would come across again on the screen as far as, once I could get my lines down. I do a lot of personal growth type courses and seminars, and realize the opportunities are all right there for you if you take them if you can and ensure it.
Definitely,
it's great fun. Yeah.
Now I kind of wanted to maybe to close out the interview here. I wanted to ask you just kind of maybe give us at badmovies.org here maybe kind of a brief statement about what the film, what it means to you. Kind of a tough question, I know.
I would say, honestly, Ash, that's a great question for any of us that went through the process, that was somehow involved with it in any way, fashion, or form. But for me, I would say I've gotten a lot of personal growth out of it. It's helped me look at, number one, I give a lot of thanks that this has happened. I mean, it is phenomenal that something like this has happened, that an opportunity like this has come about, that I'd be called a movie star. I'll be honest to tell you, I've always wished that I could have been a movie star. I think that's a lot of people's dreams when they're kids. Oh, I wish I could be a movie star. But for me, I think, I'm just in the river and I ride the river. And I think more than anything is just to be able to give a lot of healthy love out to people, and because so many people are I think more than anything else that I love about this whole thing is the sense of humor, and people love to laugh and, you know, laugh at themselves and take time to just be creative. And I've met the most incredible people through this thing, and I think that will be the most meaningful thing. But more importantly, it has been more than anything else, and I get a little emotional about it talking about Michael, because, you know, can you imagine working with somebody that's 10 years old and you're their dad, and then now, you know, I'm back in this relationship with him, and now, you know, just to be able to work with him on a whole different level has just been phenomenal.
Oh, I
can't wait to see Connie. I mean, can you imagine that? And for example, the drugstore owner in the movie is now 80-something years old. I mean, he's the most interesting person to talk to. I mean, he was a tap dance instructor in France for a while, my goodness. And Grandpa Seth owned a bookstore in Salt Lake and did Shakespearean plays for a while. I didn't even know all that. You know, he's told me about his life stories. And, of course, Jason Wright, my gosh, he's written a book called Office Jars. It's about to become a major motion picture next year, which is, I think, it's Christmas Jars. It's released. It's all over Barnes and Noble, and Jason's written. Yeah, Jason Steadman, who plays the guy that drinks the Neil Bobby milk, is a really fine musician. And of course, Darren, just one of the greatest guys. I just really enjoy being around Darren. And then Deborah Reed is working with her husband, and they have a film company. And of course, Connie's doing, I think, some Disney films and some Mormon type production films too. And so that whole thing, you know, just to go back and re-meet the cast, which amazingly, most of them are all healthy. I've heard the only one that's passed away is Sheriff Gene Cree. And I understand the preacher won't have anything to do with it, but for the most part, most of us are healthy and, you know, all having a great time, and it's been a great ride to, like I said, in the river, just having a ball with meeting everyone. And then all the people that we've met along the road, like yourself, you know, hopefully I get to meet you at one of these screenings.
If you ever come to anywhere like Chicago, because I live about a four-hour drive from Chicago, so if you ever come to Chicago, that would work for me. California's a little too far away for me, but Chicago, definitely, that's possible.
You know, a lot of these people, I mean, when we were in New York, there were people from Los Angeles and Miami, and I don't think some guy came in from Hawaii. People dressed up in burlap sacks, you know, come to our screening in New York. And in Austin, I understand that the Playhouse, the Draft House, the Austin Draft House Theater is where we had our showing there on a Thursday night at 12 o'clock at night. Over 250 people showed up, standing room only, and we had to turn away another 200, and people came as far away from New Orleans to view this thing. We understood that it's the largest sellout crowd ever, and Peter Jackson opened up The Lord of the Rings there, and he attended. And Mel Gibson opened up The Passion of Christ and Apocalypto there, and he attended, and our crowd outsold there. So go figure, something's going on.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, I think they had their record crowd, too, and sell out. So who knows what will happen as we continue on this road, you know, to the screening to other places. But yeah, keep posted. Check our website out again, bestworstmovie.com, and see where we're going with this whole thing. And keep me informed too, because I'd love to. And hopefully, you can interview Michael and myself together. It's pretty synergistic when you get both of us together.
Yeah,
much as I talk.
I heard you guys on Dead Pit Radio, and that was a good interview.
It was a great interview, and they had a great fun time with that, you know. But this has been equally as enjoyable, a little bit more personal, really.
Sure,
a great interview, even though you might be...
It's my first interview ever, so...
Oh, that's great. You've got to be kidding me.
No. What a great guy to interview for my first time, huh?
Oh, man, you're great. I don't believe this is your first interview. Yeah, you need to do this. You need to... This is great. I'm hanging in with that, But like I said, my mother's from Iowa, so I feel like I'm right at home talking to you. Yeah, my first cousins live up there.
Yeah. Born and raised here, lived here my whole life.
Yeah, it's a great, great state. Have you done the bike ride there across the state?
Rag ride?
The bike ride, where you walk with the bricks?
Yes, it's called...
The Bix is in... What's the name of that?
It's called Rag Ride.
Yeah, okay, that's right, yeah. Have you done that?
No, I haven't. That's I guess Lance Armstrong's going to be in that one this coming year, too.
No way.
Yeah. He rode briefly last year, and he's going to be in it this year. But no, I've never ridden that. It's pretty grueling, from what I've been told.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's a big party at night when everyone camps for the night.
Exactly.
So
I just
go ahead.
Think it's great. I think it's great that y'all got so many great things going up there in Iowa. You know, good state.
Well, you sound like you're definitely pretty busy with this Troll 2 thing, and it sounds like you're happy. And
I am. I feel pretty good. Yeah, I think
definitely.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
And thank you. Yeah. Been kind of all over. It seems like you're flying all over the U.S. and everywhere else to do these screenings. It sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. Yeah, and we hope to get the cast members more involved. Several of them want to come back, and we're looking at ways to get them back there. And just it's been great. I look forward to meeting so many more people now that this has happened.
Well, if you ever come to Chicago, let me know.
Oh, I will. Oh, we will do that. They're on us. There's some people in MySpace that are Chicago, but yeah, I've enjoyed so much seeing what people do off of YouTube. In fact, the people that did our trailer, have you seen the actual beta production trailer?
Yeah.
They're helping us with it. They're fantastic. The couple, and they're both born and raised right here in Hollywood, and they're helping us put this thing together, Michael and myself, and it's just a fantastic put together trailer right now we've got going. It's amazing what they can do, those guys. So, they're both film students, film graduates. So it's a great place. And Michael, I don't know about Michael real quick. He has his own web-based company in Salt Lake. And so he lives in L.A. and still does some acting and screenwriting and directing. And he's also a writer. And he was just, I think Michael was in the top 10 of a competition just recently. He wrote a short story called Orange. And he was in the top 10 out of 2,800 applicants or people, the candidates for the award. Can you believe that? He's brilliant. He's a very smart, articulate person, and really a fun person to interview. He'll have even more fun with his words. And Jason Wright is just over the top to talk to as well. When you hear Jason speak, it's almost as if he's very poetic, and it's because he's written a book, and he really is a wonderful person to hear speak.
I definitely look forward to interviewing you and Michael together. That would be great.
We'll have to make it happen. I'm sure we will.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else?
George, I just wanted
another question.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you very much from all of us here at badmovies.org. We're all diehard fans.
Well, if anybody in New Zealand is listening to this interview, I have to tell my buddies down in New Zealand, hello. Believe it or not, Ash, a fellow named Anthony Timpson was having a Midnight Madness for showing down in Auckland. And I get a phone call one night from 200 viewing people there down in the theater in Auckland, New Zealand. It was 7 o'clock in the morning, my time, and it was 12 o'clock at night, their time, and they had me over the loudspeaker, and they did a Q&A.
Oh, with like 200 people?
Yes, all the way from New Zealand.
Oh, wow.
So I was on a loudspeaker with all of them, and they were asking me questions, and just they love Troll 2. I understand Toronto had a huge Troll 2 screening with us there. So they're having screenings all over the world now, and, it's just, I think, just the start of something that's about to really take off, and I don't think it's going to stop. I think it's going to get bigger.
It's just going to snowball and get bigger.
Yeah, it's just with the resurgence of it all, especially with them showing it on Showtime. Now there's a whole other generation of kids watching it for the first time. So spread the news and get infected too. So, I really appreciate your interview with me today. It's just awesome that you would call us and ask us to be on your website. And look forward to hearing it.
Oh, definitely. And thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk with me for a little while.
That's great. Come on. Well, come on. on down and get your teeth cleaned. We'll take care of it. You can watch Troll 2 while you're having your teeth cleaned.
It's been a while since I've seen the film, and it's been a while since I've been to the dentist, so there you go.
Well, don't go too long. All right. Well, thanks so much, and give us a call back again, and you can get Michael, and we'll try to do a conversation with the three of us.
Okay.
Okay.